You're listening to Maximum Medicine Radio with host Doc Martin. Stay tuned in or call in. You won't want to miss what's happening next. How do you step into your maximum potential? How do you connect your spiritual drive with your physical path? Stick around as Doc Martin takes listeners on a journey through the seen and unseen, the accepted and the unbelievable. Get ready to meet the maximum you the world needs on Maximum Medicine Radio with Doc Martin now.
Hi, I'm Doc Martin. You're on Maximum Medicine. And I am thrilled tonight because Wendy Coulter is back joining us. And I love what she does. I love to talk about it. I could talk about it all day. So Wendy is a medical intuitive. And before this became something that got incorporated into mainstream medicine, you might probably call her a psychic. We'll find out more about that and how what she sees and how she sees. But she's also taken this kind of woo-woo thing and really brought it into the day-to-day existence. And she has articles in the Journal of Integrative and Complementary Medicine. She's written a book, Essentials of Medical Intuition. She teaches, so healthcare providers, holistic providers, wellness people can learn from her about how to grow and build your own intuition, which we all have. Some have it more easily or quickly, but we all have it. So we're going to talk about what happens in a medical intuitive session and then really talk about the energetics of it, which is what I absolutely love. So Wendy, I'm so thrilled that you're here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Doc Martin. It's lovely to be here and continue our conversation, which was so much fun the last time. So thanks so much.
So let's just talk a little bit about you as Wendy, how old you were when you started realizing that you were intuitive, how you see things or feel things. You know, give us something about, are you clairsentient, clairvoyant, and then how you ended up bringing that into mainstream medicine. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I think I started out as a clairaudient. I would hear, I have a very early memory of telling my mother to turn the radio on in the car. This is when cars had, you know, old fashioned turn the radio on thing. Because I in my head, I was singing a song and I said, Mom, turn the radio on. There's a song that's playing. I was probably 6 or 7 years old. And she turned the radio on and there was the song exactly as it was in my head. And I didn't think anything of it. I thought everybody could do that. Turns out I was able to hear, pick up, you know, music somehow. And that was like when I looked back at my early intuitive experiences, that was one. My mother also has a funny story I didn't write about in the book, but she told me when I told her that, you know, that I remember that, she said, oh, I remember even earlier when I was in preschool. She said, I would get in my car to come pick you up after the preschool and after her work. And she said, you would beam me pictures in her mind of exactly where I was on the playground or in the room or whatever. And she'd go right there and find me. That was great. But this is what humans are capable of. I'm not anything special. Everybody has this. Whether or not you choose to acknowledge it or develop it becomes the question. And if you want to develop it, you certainly can. It's inherent. It's hardwired.
I love that. And what's interesting is your mother thought you were sending her the messages, but perhaps she was equally intuitive sensing where you were.
Very possibly. And that's another wonderful thing about this intuitive communication and about the research that goes on around intuitive communication, which is pretty vast. Most people don't know the extent of it, but it's been going on for decades.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to be in a relationship or knock on the door and connect in order to have these intuitions? Can they come unbidden?
Well, certainly. Absolutely. In fact, I would say most of the people I teach are overwhelmed or, you know, burnt out even by the intuitions they pick up. And very often those folks would identify themselves as empaths, or another word for that is clairsentient, meaning you feel it all. And, you know, if you're everyone's shoulder to cry on, you are most likely a clairsentient. Or if you work in a healthcare environment where there's a lot of, you know, activity, patients, and, you know, a lot of emotional energy there, like many nurses do, it's very exhausting. They call it compassion fatigue, but I look at it as energetic overload.
Well, I'll just briefly share this. I tell a story in my book, Maximize Your Healing Power, the pivotal moment when I started to study energy medicine and shamanic approaches was a young man showing up on a late Friday night to my office. I was in a very, very rural setting. He was not my patient. He was overwhelmed with anxiety. He had dreams that were predictive, and he couldn't sleep at night because he saw things happening and it upset him and distressed him. And I hit a major turning point where I realized that if I went down the mainstream medicine path, I was going to label him crazy, defective, and the medicines that were available to, quote, treat him were not going to help him at all.
Yeah.
And that was a major, major, for me, a major intuition. There was literally a voice in my head saying, no, do not go that path. And when I, and you talk about overload, what I said to him, this was, gosh, 15 years ago, maybe even more, when I didn't know what I know now. But I said to him, you have to choose when you let it in. You're getting overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So here was a young man that could have easily been put in the psych ward.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, people have it.
A lot of theories about that. I think intuitive people have been castigated for centuries, burned at the stake, you could say. Mm-hmm. And it's really a shame. And for all the reasons that are pretty obvious, but the fact that we're living in a time where intuition is actually prized. There are books out there about how to use intuition in business, in the corporate world, certainly in the military, you know, for split-second decision-making. And these things have actually, there's a robust library, you would say, or compendium of research about this in the literature. It just hasn't really made its way into, you know, modern society yet. So there's still a lot of taboos about it. You mentioned the word psychic, which just cracked me up because that I speak at a lot of integrative health conferences, and that word alone will clear a room of doctors faster than anything, and nurse and anyone, because it is such a taboo word. And the type of intuition I use is another stigmatized word, clairvoyance, which is clear seeing, which means I can see into the body and I can see into the history of my client's life and see what's going on. And that's a very useful skill. You can't talk, you have to talk about it carefully because they'll immediately go, oh, it's too woo-woo. And there's no, where's the evidence base for this, even though there's plenty of that. So
you know, I've interviewed
a
researcher, author, Stefan Schwartz, a remote viewer.
Wonderful
now,
man.
To me, that word remote viewing is trying to give a scientific word to the fact that we're talking people who are psychic. You know, so anyway, so but he is studying it and researching it and really showing that this has basis.
His work is phenomenal. It's been going on again for decades, and he's just such a pioneer. Remote viewing shares some things in common with medical intuition, and there are differences as well. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So here you are, you know, preschool, 6 year old. Then you start. You had a medical practice or a healing practice.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I don't come from the medical world. I want to make that clear. I don't come from any healthcare world at all. However, I did study to be a Reiki healer and an energy healer, and I did study intuitive development. So I do have something in my background that allows me some abilities, you know, to develop my abilities. So what I did have was a professional energy healing practice. Mm-hmm. And what I noticed when I was healing, doing healing work on clients, is that some would release tons of energy and, you know, have these wonderful, you know, experiences where their pains would go away and all these great things that energy healers talk about, or they'd have some great realization or something. And there were plenty of clients that did not. And I was doing the exact same practice on them. So it wasn't about the practice itself or my skill set. So I wanted to know what was going on. During the course of learning how to do this and practicing it, I found my clairvoyance sense really, really honing itself just by the practice of doing it. And I could literally see, well, literally energetically see into the physical body. I saw broken ribs and, you know, vertebrae out of alignment and organs not functioning correctly. And then I could also see into their life history and what was the driving factors there for these imbalances. And so I would sort of mention these things to my client, and sometimes they would be interested in hearing it and sometimes they wouldn't. So when I had a client that wasn't actually healing or changing, the situation was the same every time. I remember asking, would you mind if I just didn't heal you for a moment, didn't use these energies for a moment, and just sat and looked and tell you what I see? And I got enough affirmatives that I found that the information that came through in that process of looking and assessing what I saw in the physical body, the biofield, the life history was so powerful for them that when I went to do the healing afterwards, they were releasing things and able to release things that they'd been holding on to for decades, for years and years. So that showed me that there was something else there. There was something as a precursor to a treatment, so to speak, that could actually really move the needle for folks. And that, I found out later, was medical intuition. That's what it was called.
Mm-hmm. I love that. This is a good place to take a quick break. So let's take a quick break. And when we come back, I want to talk more about the act of looking at the client and just sitting and seeing, and perhaps bring in some of the things we know from other teachers of consciousness and the universal field. So we'll take a quick break. Hi, everybody. I'm Doc Martin with Maximum Medicine, back with Wendy Coulter. And we're talking about, well, for me, this is the juiciest stuff. This is the best stuff. So Wendy is a medical intuitive with a longstanding energy healing practice. And what we want to explore, what she just said, is that the client wasn't really ready to shift any energy. So she just sat back and looked. So Wendy, tell me more about that.
Well, when I look at the body, it looks, and the only analogy that there really is in real life is an MRI, but I see it in color and I see it working as well, like the function of it. So MRIs don't show that. They're kind of static pictures. If you put them in a row, you could see things moving. But how I see the body is, I want to be able to look at your spleen or your kidneys or your lymphatic system and see what is working and what might not be working about it as well. Also, I'm seeing how these systems work together, because the body is incredibly holistic. And yet, you know, mainstream medicine wants to tell you you're a piece and a part, and that's not the way the body works. So I'm going to look at what is the presenting issue, what the body's telling me and showing me what that is. I'm going to work with, what else is related to that issue in the body. So I'm seeing the connections that are being made, and I'm querying the body and the energy field about what is wanted by it. You know, these pieces and these areas in our body, or these functionalities, what does it want to shift and change? That's a completely reversed way we go to see our doctors or we go to get treatment. Yeah. That's the power of medical intuition, is that we're going to ask the body, what do you want to heal? And that information is given to the client, and that client can take it or leave it. They can choose to use it or not. But at least we've had that conversation with, you know, the cardiovascular system or the heart or the whatever it is, right? So it's that kind of experience. The other piece of this I mentioned was the root cause. Root cause comes in many flavors. One is the physical root cause, and the other is the emotional, mental, and even spiritual root cause. So we want to tease those out, parse those out, and query also what, well, here, let me give you the premise. The principle or premise of medical intuition, and I think most energy healing practices, even though medical intuition is an assessment practice, not an actual healing practice, so I want to make that distinction. The premise is that a manifestation of illness or imbalance or disease doesn't come out of the blue. There's a process by which it manifests. The body holds on to emotional, physical, mental, even spiritual, you could say, traumatic experiences or impactful experiences that
The shamans teach that you have imprints in your energy field that go back lifetimes.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would agree with that. There's many ways to think about it and say it. In psychology, they have a whole other, you know, way of naming this. But the practice is to identify it, to assess it, to explain it to the client. And that information is so powerful for people to be able to start to reintegrate, you know, their mind and body and spirit. That's really the main key here. But it is an assessment process. It is separate from a treatment process.
So the guests that I've been bringing on my show lately are about the things I want to learn more about, including this. And we've been talking a lot about the universal field, the information field. Professor Laszlo was on, Joseph Selby, who's a deep meditator. And there is what we might call the original template. And the universal energies down, you know, going down from the universe to the galaxy, to the earth, to the body, to the cells, they have an inherent template to move towards well-being. And that something in healing, and you're helping me get to where that something is, when you can either open up to the possibility that will allow the flow of the original template of the desire to be whole and well, or to entrain the body to that flow of life force. And again, I can't tell you exactly how it works. So tell me what you have learned over your years. What is going on?
I love that. Well, I would agree that that the body wants to heal. That's pretty obvious. You know, when every time you look at a body in that detail, it's like, it just wants to feel better. It wants to heal. Our minds want that too. Our souls want that too. So that's a good place to start. Oh no, I've lost the thread a little bit. Ask me the question again, if you don't mind.
Sure. Have you sensed that there is this original force, and you said they want to heal, that there is a template? And how do you, as first as an energy healer and then as an intuitive, reconnect the person or the person's cells to remembering what they really are supposed to be about?
Good. There's several ways. First of all, I don't actually practice energy healing anymore. Okay. The assessment process was so powerful and affirming to the client that became my focus. And I became a medical intuitive, and I stopped doing energy healings a long time ago because I felt it was more foundational to the process of healing. And so my healing modality may or may not have been the right one for a client. There might have been three more that would have worked for them better. So I realized that helping people create a path to that healing that everybody wants, the body wants it, the soul wants it, that would be a better use of this skill set rather than just running into going into an energy healing. So one way to talk about how I tap into this is we can talk about the quantum field. We can talk about universal source. We can say higher self. There's a zillion ways to talk about that intelligence that we all have access to. Medical intuitive, my job is to kind of be the interpreter, really, of that energy, that broader universal understanding that's specific to the client. So it helps them move forward in their understanding of why something manifested, how it's manifesting, and what are some steps that, you know, this intelligence that they have access to as well, that we all have access to, is asking of us, right? And that's where the spiritual comes in, because spiritually we also want to move down our path. We want growth. So we want physical wellness, and we want spiritual wellness as well. So it's all contained in this process of medical intuition. I'm not sure I got to the nub of your question though.
No, I love that, because Professor Laszlo, and also I met an author, Dr. Jude Kuravan, who is also a futurist and global thinker. This flow of an already intelligence moving towards order and well-being, and that flow is there ready to pour into every cell. And then there's a block. And so when you work with people and you intuit, what have you noticed some of these blocks to the flow of the original template? What have you found?
Many. So I'll go through it physical, and then I'll go through the other emotional, mental, spiritual. Physically, the blocks can be as simple as not having enough information about whatever's going on, or being resistant to that information. That's a block. A lot of people are afraid of healthcare of any kind, or they don't want to take that pill or have that surgery for whatever reason. And there's nothing, I'm not making a judgment call about it, but my look as being a medical intuitive for 20 plus years is that the body wants what it wants. And if a conventional medicine, alternative medicine, complementary or integrative medicine method will work, or an energy medicine will work, then that's what the body will ask for. And people can have their own, you know, decisions about it. It's free will based. But that's an interesting thing, because then we're talking about biases, and biases come often out of fears. So what are those fears? Let's look at those. And those have to do with life history. So there are emotional, mental, and even spiritual fears that we can buy into via, you could call it, systems of belief, inculcations, conditioning, programming. There's lots of words for that. Mm-hmm. Early life traumatic experience that can really solidify a fear and stop us from moving forward. Everybody has this. I mean, even subtle life traumas can be impactful. Doesn't always have to be that dramatic. We have epigenetics that come down through the genetic line, which has to do with trauma in the history and ancestry. So there's so many ways that can influence us in terms of whether or not we're moving in the direction of healing or not healing. And I have a word for, I have a way to phrase this. I call it permission for wellness. And the word permission is really potent, because we think it's a conscious permission. And in many cases, it's very, very subconscious and has so much history to it.
Well, you know, Stefan Schwartz, when I interviewed him last, told the story, because when he was younger, he had met Rolling Thunder, a very powerful Native American healer, and was able literally to heal a severe wound in 15 minutes, skin closed up and everything. And the second patient or client that was there, he wasn't getting anywhere. And he had a conversation with Hugh Lynn Casey at the Casey Foundation, and he said the mother's not letting me. Ah. He wants to keep her son tied to her. So they had a conversation. The mother removed her resistance, and boom. So I love that. All of this makes a lot of sense. I think this will be a good place to take a break, if we'll just take a quick break here. We'll be back in a minute. Hi, everybody. I'm Doc Martin, Maximum Medicine, back with Wendy Coulter. We're talking about what it means to really release the resistance to healing, what it means to have permission for well-being. And she reminded me, as she was talking about so many things that are learned and patterned by families. I have so many patients, my eyes are wide open now, seeing how many times they're not going to get better because they don't allow themselves, because they're supposed to have a burden, or they're supposed to do this or that. So Wendy, let's talk more about this. Where does the permission come from? Does the healer have to actively, consciously ask for it? Tell me your experience.
Well, I think it's a concept that sort of is apparent in many, many energy healing practices, even if it's not discussed outright. But as a medical intuitive, when I'm assessing, what I'm looking for is, where's the permission to resistance level, right? And I'm always going to look at that and gauge, where is the permission for releasing this physical issue? Where's the permission at level at for releasing an emotional, a belief system, for example, or an early life, you know, event where, you know, unconscious or subconscious decisions were made. And all of this stuff is part of the assessment process. When I'll give you my philosophy of what I've seen over the years and what I believe is the motto for medical intuition. And that comes from Dr. Dean Ornish. He said, awareness is the first step in healing. Awareness is what medical intuitives deal in. We're bringing this to conscious awareness. Even things, I tell my students, if I had a dollar for every client that said, hey, I already talked about that in therapy about 1,000 times. Well, I'm not a therapist, but your body is showing me that there's still some stuck energy here around this, you know, life history issue. Mm-hmm. And it can bring another spin to it that can help people kind of rethink or break through or reframe, which is really fun, you know. And again, it has nothing to do with psychology or any of that. It's what's caught and stuck in the energy field. Mm-hmm. Can I give you an example of this?
Yes.
I wrote this in the book. It's such a great case study. This was a gentleman named Jerry, and Jerry had a back issue, back pain his whole life. And he wasn't even aware of where it began. He just remembers being in pain since he was a child. And you know, he'd had surgeries later in life and all the rest of it. His memory of when the pain started was when he was like 12 years old or 13 years old, and he couldn't get out of bed to play sports because his back hurt him so much. And he just remembers a whole childhood of pain. And of course, the adults are like, well, children don't have that kind of pain. What are you talking about? And of course, at, you know, 12 or 13, they had to rush him to the hospital and see what was wrong. And it was just a whole lifetime after that. So he wanted to know, you know, what's this all about? And when I looked into his energy, I saw so much going on. It was in his lower back, you know, just all the surgeries, and I could see the vertebrae and the, you know, the degeneration there. And, you know, his body had a lot to say about it. But when I looked at the permission level, it was quite low. And it was low because he was holding on, understandably, to so much anger and confusion. And a little bit of guilt, you know, about maybe this was his fault, but he didn't know how. And so it was all balled up there in his back. So when I asked, you know, when I talked to his body and I used that quantum field idea, when I said, okay, show me where this began, what I saw was him as a toddler His mother was at the supermarket, and his mother wanted to give him a treat of a ride on those little mechanical horses in the front of supermarkets, right? You put the quarter in. This is from way back. I don't know if they have them anymore. But you put the quarter in, you sit the kid on, you tie him up, and then off it goes, and it kind of just rocks back and forth. Well, what happened was she didn't tie the strap tight enough, and he tumbled off, and he hit his back, lower back, right on that concrete platform. And what happened there was he had damage to his spine, but everyone thinks kids are made of red rubber balls and they shouldn't get hurt. And so nothing was done about it until much later, you know, when he got to be about 12 or 13. All of that anger and confusion and pain, as I was describing the scene to him, he started crying. It was like, oh my God, I knew there was a reason. Nobody could remember. Nobody could tell me. And his permission level started to raise. Mm-hmm. It was fascinating to watch. And, you know, his body had a lot to tell him, you know, try this, there's this, you could go that. And he took in all of it at that time and came back later and said, you know, that was a real turning point for me. I was able to, you know, release so much of that old resentment on, you know, the adults not paying attention when I was a child. Now, that's pretty powerful stuff. And all it came from was me saying, here's what I see, the origin, the root cause of this whole lifetime and in the below your lower back and everything that happened with it. It made that was what turned a corner for him. And that's permission.
Yep. So I tell this story a lot. When I read a book about Frank Fool's Crow, a very powerful Lakota medicine man, and when he was interviewed by his biographer, that Frank would bring his clients, his patients there, they would show up and they would live in the teepee with him for 4 days. And his biographer said, well, why 4 days? What are you, is there steps you have to take on day one? You do this. He basically said, no, spirit is instantaneous, but the patient has to move up. And I'm going to interpret it with the way we're talking now. The patient had to reach the level of permission to heal.
That makes a lot of sense to me. I think that's why people come back and back and back for energy healings, because their permission level isn't quite there to let it all go. And that's what I said in my earlier story. Some people, you know, get them on the table. They're like, woohoo, it's all gone. Thanks. You know, mm-hmm, no more cords, mm-hmm. No more whatever anomalies. And some people are like, I'm just not ready. And so you chip away at it as an energy healer. But as a medical intuitive, you can get right to it. And that's why I said, when I was able to just explain what was going on, inform them of what I saw, then all of a sudden, many times their energy, their permission level just went through the roof. And they could let go of things that had been hanging them up forever. So it's a fascinating process. And honestly, Sharon, it's why I say medical intuition is a foundational skill set to any healing practice, whether it's conventional medicine, shamanism, you know, right. Energy healing, you name it, because you get to that bottom line. And then whatever the treatment is to facilitate that is what the treatment is. And that's important, obviously. But if you just do the treatment without knowing the root causes and why something is in place, somebody may not shift.
And when I'm going to just say it and say it in a different way, bringing in different language. If you sit as the intuitive and you're looking back along the path to where things were flowing in natural order, well-being, wanting to be in a complete healed state, and then you see the glitch. So what you're also doing in your tracking, I'll use the word tracking for seeing, is you are actually seeing the universal intelligence flowing, the life force flowing. Cells want to be alive. They want to be healthy. They want to be good. And you see the glitch. Mm-hmm. And you see the place where that stream of life force got interrupted. And then in seeing it, then the person goes, oh, yes, subconsciously, most likely, there is this stream. Your cells say there is this stream. Let's let this other stuff go so we can be in flow with life force.
We're all looking for that, aren't we? And the one thing I want to make sure that I say here is that there is nobody who doesn't want to heal. I mean, that's so unusual, and I've never seen it in 20-something years. Everybody wants to heal. So some people conflate permission with there must be something I'm doing wrong. And that's not it at all, at all. There's no one-to-one with that. It is a glitch. And those glitches often happen in spite of everything. You know, and so we have to be very gentle and loving with ourselves in the healing process. And as far as I'm concerned, Universal Source and the energy that I work with, it's not a spirit guide or anything like that. It's literally the person's connection to their own spiritual well-being and understanding and information. There is no judgment in the least about any of that, right? But we judge ourselves like crazy.
Oh, so, no kidding. Because yeah. I'm sure there'll be the people who start to be self-critical and say, oh, I can't believe it. I put that block there. Or I did this. Look what I did to myself. And sometimes it's just the way life went.
It's just the way life went, or there's past lifetimes that, you know, all of this between life, you know, choices that we make and everything that gets into the spiritual kind of, you know, container to hold it all, but it's all valid. And, you know, when we understand the free will aspect of how energy works, it really can be very freeing. It's just so freeing to know that, you know, I have the understanding or the ability just within me, whether I understand it or not, or have any concept or sense of it, that my body wants to heal. There's an intelligence here that wants me to move toward growth and healing. And if I can align myself with it, which of course we can, then we can move. We can move. Listen, it's all, look, here in society, we call this the law of attraction. It's, you know, it's huge. But do people understand what it means in terms of health and wellness? I don't know. That's what medical intuition is all about. Let's see where, I love you say the glitch. Let's see where the glitch is and what's needed to move past that, to transform that glitch. Great way to frame it. I love that.
I love also the connections and the corollaries. My spiritual community, we meditate often on getting connected back to source and throwing out a concept, the law of the assumptive, to just go back to where it's assumed that there is life force and the flow of intelligence moving to well-being. I love this.
That's lovely.
This is a good place to take our last break, and we'll be back in just a minute. Hi, everybody. We're back. I'm Doc Martin, Maxima Medicine, here with Wendy Coulter. And we're in our last segment. I have to tell you, I'm going to be sad when it's over. Wendy, I love this juicy conversation. I love your insights. Let's carry this out for our last segment. What's really in this healing encounter that you've found, even though you're not working as an energy healer, you're literally just observing, you're looking, reporting to the client what you see, and healing is occurring. What are the, besides the permission to overcome any resistance or release resistance, what else do you find are key elements for a good, successful encounter?
Well, we can talk about it in terms of an ethical perspective. One of the things that is big in conversation in many of the healing communities, the energy and biofield, I call these biofield practices communities, is the idea of what it means to be an ethical practitioner. It's a big part of my program because the power differential is so important to be aware of, meaning when you're giving this kind of information to somebody, it might resonate with them more powerfully than other information, or they might put you in some sort of position that you don't want to be in. And so we have to understand that. And as a doctor, I know you understand that. And so it's not
just because you can do it.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you should. I don't know if you know blues. There's a blues guitarist, Joe Bonamassa. Just because you can don't mean you should.
Without question. People need to be trained in how to use intuition ethically. There are some wonderful programs out there. In my program, the students have to complete a separate ethical training by a woman named Midge Murphy, who is herself an energy healer and a shaman, I believe, as well. And she's also an attorney or a former attorney. And she wrote a book called Practice Energy Healing in Integrity. Phenomenal book. It comes with an exam. And my students have to complete that in order to get my certification because it's such an important piece. But we talk about it all the way through. What does that mean? That means we have to honor the free will of our clients. Bottom line, absolute, cannot breach that. If you breach someone's free will, meaning saying you must do this, you have to do that, I'm the authority and you're whatever, then we are obliterating their ability in many ways to take their own healing on themselves and have mastery over that for themselves. And I really feel like it's not well understood in the energy healing world. So hopefully we'll see more people understanding that. Ethical training is important.
Mainstream medicine, one of the things that I grumble, most people grumble about, is this top-down power differential that was established 70 years ago. Don't worry, honey, you just do what I tell you. As you're talking about it, besides the kind of discomfort I feel at the idea of somebody taking away the free will, if I feel into it, another thing that I wonder if it's happening is when you pull the person out of their own awareness of their connection to this stream of life force, because you've interjected with instructions on what to do. They've kind of turned their awareness away from their own connection and just all of a sudden just linked up with you on the human level and your instruction, rather than linking up internally with their own awareness. Anyway, I can just see them being diverted off the path of this stream of well-being.
So let me address that, because that's a misunderstanding of the process. Now, there may be medical intuitives out there that do it that way. And if they are, that's not my way of doing it. I would never, ever, for a red hot minute, interject myself between someone and their guidance, ever. To me, that is the ultimate breach of free will. What I'm doing is being the basically observer of their connection to their energy. To their energy stream. I'm not interjecting or interfering at all. And that actually, you're talking about spiritual ethics now rather than, legal ethics. And spiritual ethics are just as important. If someone interjects themselves between a person and their higher self, that is the ultimate breach of free will in my world. Mm-hmm. And I train people not to do that, because that is not the position anybody should put themselves in as a medical intuitive or a psychic or anything else. Are there people out there that do that? Sure. They're very manipulative in my book. And that's not what we're doing. So the opportunity here and the way I practice and the way I teach is to allow the client to essentially hear what their higher self is saying, to hear what their body is saying. And my job is to make sure they hear it in such a way that it supports their free will, not takes it away. Now, that has to do with languaging correctly. That has to do with how we present the information. That has to do with not saying things that are out of line. It is a big part of the education in my program, and it should be a big part of the education everywhere. You have healers that blurt things out to people. Oh, I see blah, you know, or I'm getting the impression blah, or I feel blah. And those things can be damaging to your clients without even realizing it, right?
And, you know, as physicians, we, in a little bit different ways, we are guilty of that. I mean, we're trained to find the badness. We're trained to find something that's wrong because we've got to. In fact, people are coming to us, paying us to find that and make it better. Mm-hmm. But in doing so, again, the power of your words, the power of your actions, and even your unspoken observations or assumptions, when we're trained to look for bad, and then you say, well, I see bad here and bad here and bad here and bad here. Is it any wonder people rush off to alternative treatments? They don't hear you're bad, bad, broken, broken, all anyway.
I totally get that. And it's, you know, what you're talking about is the ethics of doing this work of medical intuition, of energy healing. This is something that I'm a little bit on my soapbox about, mm-hmm. because I was brought, you know, I was trained in, you know, you mentioned the word psychic. Yeah, that's my mm-hmm. background. I was trained there and the ethics were zero. Right. There were none. And people were damaging people. And I realized that if I was going to train medical doctors and nurses and everybody else, and I developed my own set of ethics around it, I wasn't going to go there with anyone because why? Right. I'm not here to hurt someone. I'm here to help them find their path. So I brought that into my program early on. And I worked with folks who've had very intensive ethical training in the medical field. What did they want to, how did they want to practice this? And, you know, it's something that we're hearing more and more of nowadays because energy medicine is just on the rise. So people have to learn it. And there are lots of places to go to learn it.
And so just tell people, if you would, about your courses, just briefly.
Sure. So the medical intuitive training is for healthcare and wellness professionals. There are qualifying fields and all that information is on the website. It is a two-level program. The first level is 4 months. The second level is 5 months. And it's all the foundational work for learning how to do this visual seeing. And you learn how to read the biofield in the chakra system and the auric field. And then you learn how to read the body and the life history. I have a certification and the program is accredited for continuing education and for various fields that is taught live online, very much mentored program. We have our TA's mentor and that program is available. I teach it twice a year in the spring and the fall. So the spring program right now, if anyone's watching in real time, is available, but go to the website at thepracticalpath.com. The other program, which is launching soon, is a self-study program on medical intuition for healing and self-care. And that is open for everyone because everyone might want to learn how to listen to their bodies and talk to their bodies and have a conversation with their own liver and spleen. And that is going to be launched very soon. And it's a wonderful program I hope everyone takes advantage of. And that's what we have.
Wonderful. When you said something, I was just reflecting on my biggest mentor in shamanic and energy. He is a Jungian analyst, a powerful, powerful shaman, and an accomplished businessman, Dr. Carl Greer. And one thing that he taught me and really enforced and the ethics behind it, as you were talking, I was thinking about how really amazing he was, the dialogue. And the dialogue is a place of lateral connection. There's no top down. There's a real interest in asking and hearing what's coming back. And we, you know, in shamanic training, we would talk to our past life. We would talk to our power animal. We would talk to our higher self. And in your case, you're helping people talk to the spleen, talk to the liver.
Right.
And that mutual respect and willingness to really hear what the other wants, that just gives me a good feeling, because that's powerful. When you sit in that, I am ready to be one with you. I am ready to honor you and listen to you. Wow, that's such a good space.
Yeah, that's a lovely way to frame it and to think about it. And to me, that is the highest form of ethics.
And I think that's why, I'm going to put words in your mouth perhaps, but when you pull out of actually being an energy healer to being a medical intuitive, you're in the observer role. So you are really not putting any of your filters or desires for something to happen, but you are saying, I offer this to you. I'm putting this smorgasbord in front of you. Take what you want, feast on it, use it how you want. You have no biases or filters.
Right.
That's high order. So
that's the way we practice. Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for that. I also want to mention that medical intuition is a pretty Wild West, you mentioned earlier, kind of a field. And there is an organization that was formed over the last couple of years. I'm actually the president of that organization at the moment. It's called the National Organization for Medical Intuition. And how you just described that, Sharon, is part of our mission and vision. It's part of our code of ethics and our definitions. And when you start codifying these wonderful honoring practices, then we can build the field to be something that, frankly, the medical world can take seriously. And that goes across the board for all energy healing. Maybe that's not everybody's goal, but it certainly
does help. But it
is a
higher order of healing.
Yeah.
Well, we're out of time, which darn it. So Wendy, maybe we'll have to come up with another topic for us to talk about in the future.
No problem.
Everybody, Wendy Coulter, Medical Intuitive. Her website is thepracticalpath.com. She's a teacher. She is, as you can tell, has high integrity. Wonderful to have you here. Love to talk about this juicy stuff with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. Good night, everybody.
You've been listening to Maximum Medicine Radio with Doc Martin. Tune in next time while the doc talks health, spirituality, and the impact your beliefs have on every part of who you are, body and soul. Doc Martin unpacks the challenges we face as human beings and teaches callers to open the door between the scientific and the mystical. To learn more about Doc Martin and Maximum Medicine, visit www.SharonMartinMD.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.